Welcome to Knights Around the Table, a show where the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen, Council 7612, sit around the WSJF studio conference table and discuss their involvement and contributions to the St. Joseph community and the areas around Sykesville and Eldersburg. Here is the host of the show, Eric Klaser.
We are the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen Council 7612, and this is Knights Around the Table. This show is designed to demonstrate to the community who the Knights are and how we integrate with the St. Joseph community. But let's start with the Lord's Prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm Eric Klaser, Past Grand Knight, and today I'm here with
Josh Beck.
And Rich Perron, Past Grand Knight.
And Peter O'Sullivan, Past Grand Knight.
Excellent. Josh?
Never Grand Knight.
Not yet, Grand Knight. You got some work to do.
I didn't realize that's what I was signing up for here.
Oh, nobody ever realizes.
Oh, look at the time.
Till you're looking at it. Let's take a look at the upcoming events. First of all, M&T is rocking and rolling. We're about three or four events in already, actually more than that. So I'm not going to sit and beat us up with every single home game coming out, but I am going to encourage you, if you're interested as an organization or a group to help us and volunteer, contact 7612kfc@gmail.com and just say you'd like to step up and help out. We could always use some more hands on that. Our first family movie night is going to come quick, so I'm just going to go through that quick. That's October 12th, so that'll be gone. But I do want to talk about October 19th, which is our Oktoberfest. Tickets are going to sell out for that. I don't think we have a doubt that we'll get sold out for it. I've been to a couple of the meetings. We're talking about which schnitzel to get, which is pretty exciting. You know, we're going to have Weisswurst and Wiener schnitzel. And
lots of German beer.
That's going to be a little different than last year. Last year, we had a nice little trailer in there. This year, I think we're just going to have a few kegs. And it'll be fun, though.
Yes, it always is.
It is. It's going to be a great event. Band is there. I know we're going to have some volunteer baskets filled. So we'll have some baskets to raffle off. I think we're going to have a little raffle wheel.
We're going to have a silent auction, too.
I heard it was going to come together.
Yep, there's going to be
so we're going to get that. That was successful last year.
Yeah, it was.
So I actually wound up buying something myself. As a result of the German beer, probably. But it was a good event.
Is it German-themed silent auction? Is it German-themed items?
No, actually, it's not. It's going to be memorabilia, sports memorabilia, and some veteran memorabilia.
Excellent.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, I purchased one of probably 500,000 Tucker signed jerseys, but I was my Florida kids were very happy to get it. That's where it went. So don't wait. Get those tickets. It's going to be $45 a person, $85 a couple, and just like everything else, just shoot an email to 7612kfc@gmail.com and express your interest for a ticket. It's that easy. All right. November is the month of Memorial. We end the liturgical year, and we begin November by remembering those who have left us behind. So the first weekend of November is reserved for our Memorial Mass. The date hasn't been officially set yet. I'm just going on history. We probably will be the Saturday night Mass. It's typically the vigil Mass on Saturday night where the scrolls are brought up to the church and we remember the knights and the wives that have passed. It's a great event to remember all those names. And November 2nd is the Saturday night. Will be the Saturday, the vigil Mass. As far as events in November, our November 17th is going to be the social. That's a Sunday. So we're going to do that a little different, but hopefully we'll get a lot of people to come out to that. We're going to have a social at 1623 this time instead of locally to watch the Ravens and the Steelers. Thank goodness we're not working finally. We have a weekend off. If I have a minute, a quick funny story. My Florida kids are going to be up that weekend, and they were all excited. Dad, we're going to go with you to work at the Ravens game. It's the Ravens Steelers. We're going to go. It's going to be great. And then I had to break it to him that it wasn't a home game. I'm happy it's not a home game, but they were disappointed. So the Ravens Steelers kick off at 1 o'clock, so the social will start at 1 o'clock at 1623 Brewery on November 17th. Hope you can come out and join some of the nights and have a good time. And really, as far as November events are concerned, that's about it. So outside of the football games, we get to exhale a little bit. We start moving into some time with family and enjoy the month of November.
All right. You got Thanksgiving and getting ready for Christmas. So we're all going to be busy.
Excellent. So we are. I was just going to kind of throw us out again and remind the world that we're Knights Around the Table. And just one quick reminder, I'm Eric Klaser, and I'm here with a bunch.
Josh Beck.
Hi. Rich Perron, Past Grand Knight.
Peter O'Sullivan, Past Grand Knight.
There's been enough of my voice, so you want to do yours?
Yeah, I'd like to. You know, I just thought I'd do some research here. And, of course, we're celebrating at our social tonight Michaelmas, which is actually the celebration of St. Michael the Archangel. Well, I just wanted to give you some update on that. And you know that it's actually September 29th is actually his feast day, but we're celebrating it now. And you know, according to the Bible, St. Michael actually was not a saint. Because back when he was around, there were no saints. But he's referred to as St. Michael. St. Michael the Archangel is actually a spiritual warrior in the battle against evil, often defeating Satan with a sword. And part of the St. Michael prayer is, St. Michael, defend us in battle. Be our protector from the snares of the devil. But he's also referred to as protection against physical battle. Another thing, too, is God's strongest angel is St. Michael the Archangel. And in the hierarchy of angels, there is no hierarchy. But St. Michael is referred to as the archangel, as being the number one. He's the grand knight of the angels. So, and Gabriel is believed to be the number one angel. Gabriel was God's right-hand man. And Gabriel means, God is my strength. And with St. Michael also is credited with saving the faithful from the fires of hell. And did you know that St. Michael had a twin brother? Well, he did. His brother's name was Samuel. But Samuel tried to lead a rebellion against God, and he was banished and changed his name to Lucifer. And that's where Lucifer was banished to hell. In the Bible, he's also the only angel referred to as the archangel. He stands guard over Israel. He is actually a patron of the Israel, the country of Israel. The Bible records only four words in the Bible from St. Michael. And it is, the Lord punish you. And that was to Lucifer, which was Samuel at the time, because Lucifer tried to take Moses' body when he died. He tried to take his body away and for his own purposes. And he is recognized again as the Prince of Israel as he has battled Lucifer for the Jews on their own hand. And I just thought you'd like to know that.
All right, so it's going to put one of you guys on the spot because somebody knows the answer to this. Why is it only the Sunday night Mass that concludes the Mass with the prayer to St. Michael?
Not sure.
That's not true. Every morning when we do daily Mass, we conclude it with St. Michael the Archangel.
There's the answer.
All right, I just got called out.
Blew that one.
Thanks, Richard. We're moving to Josh.
Well, it's funny because I had a different article that I was going to share today, but got a message today from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And seeing that this is our October podcast, and it's the last one before the election. I feel like it's something that we should share. Now, this is directly from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Dear friends in Christ, as faithful Catholics, we believe that every person is made in God's image and likeness, and thus has inviolable dignity and deserves respect and protection. Our Catholic social teaching reflects this belief on issues ranging from immigration and the environment, to healthcare, poverty, and the death penalty. Preeminent among these issues is the most fundamental right of all, the right to life. We are called by our faith to uphold human dignity at all stages of life, from natural conception to natural death. This upcoming election, Maryland voters will be asked to vote on Question 1, the so-called Reproductive Freedom Amendment. Question 1 seeks to enshrine abortion in the Maryland State Constitution, an action that is both unnecessary and harmful given Maryland's already permissive abortion laws. It is harmful because it would divert resources away from efforts that promote the well-being of women, children, and families. Allow me to explain. By enshrining abortion in the Constitution, we would fail to address the root causes for why so many women feel abortion is their only option. As Catholics, we must advocate for policies that provide comprehensive solutions, such as greater access to health care, support for struggling families, better education about life-affirming options, and efforts to reduce social and economic inequalities. The Church continues to accompany women and their babies and continues to partner with public and private organizations to ensure that their choice of life is not lonely or seemingly insurmountable. Ensuring access to resources and support services for these women is crucial if we are to build a society that values all human life. Practical support such as health care, child care, affordable housing, education, and economic assistance can help women to refuse to end the life of their unborn child because they feel they have no other option or fear being alone. Rather than taking the extreme step of enshrining the legality of abortion in the Maryland Constitution, we should work to create a culture where no woman feels as though she must choose between the life of her child and a bright future. When we vote against Question 1, we do so not to limit anyone's rights, but to foster a society of solidarity and respect for life, one where women are honored, the gift of life is cherished, and the needs of mother and child are met. With gratitude for your prayerful consideration, and with my own prayerful best wish, I remain, faithfully in Christ, Most Reverend William E. Laurie, Archbishop of Baltimore. So we've talked before about how abortion and the sanctity of life is really something that the Knights of Columbus takes to its absolute core. So as much as we want everyone to go out and exercise their right to vote and to vote according to their conscience, please take this into mind. It's a very, very Catholic thing. All life is sacred. All life, regardless of how it's created, where it's created, when it's created. The right to life is the most fundamental right that we have before everything else. So let's do our part. Let's influence the community around us and try to take down something that could be so detrimental to our world, to our local state and community.
It can be very simple. All it takes is a vote. We're going to go vote anyway, so vote your conscience. And we teach that that's the right thing. I understand right to life, too. End of life is a question on the ballot this year, too.
Is that one on the ballot, too?
I believe, yeah. Jerry Reed said it's going to be on there again, the assisted suicide clause. So, again, vote your conscience, but remember where we come from.
So I think of two Knights projects that, I was going to ask Peter, is it a national project, the Sonogram project that we put the, or is that a Maryland one? We put the sonograms in the pregnancy centers.
I think that's
the Knights of Columbus do that nationally.
Nationally,
right.
And locally, we have placed, I want to say two already up at the Westminster Pregnancy Center.
Mm-hmm. I think it's.
And we're doing it all over the state of Maryland.
Right.
Yes.
It's just an awesome thing to put those 4D sonograms in those pregnancy centers, give that access to the pregnant mothers, see that that's a great thing. And then I think of the wintertime, we participate ourselves with the Coats for Kids programs, and we do our best in that. That's a huge national campaign that's really well organized by the Knights as well.
I think last year the Knights total, it was 1 million coats they had donated so far.
Wow.
So that's a lot of warmth.
Nationwide, the Knights of Columbus is involved in so many programs, too many to even list.
You're right.
But they're always out for life, for the weak people who need help, and just tremendous good work the Knights do.
Yeah, we're kind of like a shadow organization. We do things and people don't even know we're there, then we're gone. High old silver.
The Knights are recognized as the Pope's right arm.
That's right.
In his own words.
You're right.
And they give him millions of dollars to apply to good causes.
You have to help the Pope and his funds. That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, finally tonight, I thought we would take a look at, since we are playing in October, I thought we'd take a look at some fun facts about our namesake, Christopher Columbus.
Sounds good.
See what we can play around with, see how wrong I am. First of all, everybody when I was a kid said Columbus wanted to sail west because he wanted to prove that the world was round, but that was pretty widely accepted by the sailors by that point. So he wasn't really trying to prove that it was round. What he wanted to prove, which I still think is kind of funny, what he wanted to prove was that if he sailed west across the Atlantic, he would get to Japan in about 30 days. And that's because he claimed, this is the math side of me, he claimed he had done the math, he figured it out, and his mathematical calculations were solid. He was getting to Japan in 30 days. And, well, 2 months and 9 days later, he managed to make it to what is now present-day Haiti, was at the time named Hispaniola. So I thought that was just kind of neat how bad his calculations were.
So the first point you're going to make about Christopher Columbus is that he was bad at math.
He was bad at math.
He was bad at math, and that's what we need to remember.
But he was one heck of a fundraiser. He had a mission. He was going to do it. He was going to raise the money, and he was going to get
there. Well, he knew the queen, too.
Never hurts to know a queen.
That's true. So interesting, the three boats that went across were...
The Pinta, the Nina, and the Santa Maria.
Well, let's start with the Santa Maria. So he was on the Santa Maria. That was the boat Christopher Columbus was actually on. And the Santa Maria actually was damaged and crashed as it arrived in Hispaniola. And that crew stayed behind. Christopher Columbus came back. I think if I read it right, he came back on the Nina. Maybe I was wrong. He could have been. Well, he came back on one of the two boats with a promise to come back in a year for the sailors that he left behind. Yeah. That was the crew of the Santa Maria. And he did. So his first voyage was in
1492.
And he was able to get back to Europe, fundraise again, and raise enough money to bring some ships back again in 1493. And he actually made it right back to Hispaniola again, only to find the crew was gone. So he wasn't able to find a single person and very little evidence of them being there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He was probably at a different island.
They were in Jamaica.
That's right. He says he went to Hispaniola.
But his math was bad.
His math was bad, yes.
I don't think he was a
good fundraiser, though.
Is that why we're a fundraising organization?
Yeah, but we have math P3 teachers here.
This one was a no-brainer. It says Columbus was not likely the first European across. No, he wasn't. Who gets credit for that one, though?
The Norwegians?
Yes.
Yes.
Particularly Leif Erikson.
Leif Erikson. Uh-huh. Right.
My dad says kind of my name, Eric, was named for that, but I don't know.
Well, wasn't Eric his dad?
It must have been, yeah.
Because he was right? Eric's son.
Yeah. And then he said, I just like the name. Oh, okay. The Santa Maria was probably the original name of the boat. The Nina and the Pinta are the ones that everybody talks about as probably not being the names of the boats. Typically, if the names aren't widely accepted, they just go with the ship owners. So those two boats was Juan Nino was the name of one boat, and I don't have the second one, but they're pretty much named after them, as opposed to being named after what their original boat names were. So that was kind of a neat one, I thought. And then the last one I was going to hit, which I thought was kind of neat, because we pick on him. I started this whole thing picking on him being a bad mathematician. Apparently, on his fourth trip and final trip, he was stranded in Jamaica, and he was getting ready to be killed by the local people, natives, and he pulled a mathematical move right out of King Arthur. He said, "The gods are with me, and there's going to be a lunar eclipse tonight." And sure enough, there was a lunar eclipse on February 29, 1504. The natives were so amazed, they set him free. Maybe that's not a true story, but I think it's a true story.
That's great.
even though Mike Murphy or Mike Curley's not here, the heirs of Christopher Columbus, get your wills together, get everything together. So Christopher Columbus died in the early 1500s, maybe 1507. The estate wasn't officially closed until 1790 because of the battles of his heirs over his monies. So get your will in order, ladies and gentlemen, so that you don't get stuck in a 300-year probate.
Call Mike Hurley.
That's right.
Thank you, Eric. That was interesting, very interesting. Especially people like me and Peter have been in the night so long, we probably would have met Christopher Columbus on the shores.
Be careful with you. Be gentle.
He actually knighted you guys, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm reminded by one of my members every month, he thinks, and we think, that everybody, every Catholic man in Eldersburg should be a member of the Knights of Columbus. If you want to be a member of the Knights of Columbus, send an email to kfc@gmail.com. We would love to have every Catholic man in Eldersburg and Sykesville become a member. You can always keep up with the Knights of Columbus events at our website, kfc7612.org. Please check it out. Email links are right there on the website if you have any questions. Thanks for welcoming us to your radio. I am Eric Klaser.
I'm Josh Beck.
Hi, I'm Rich Perron, past Grand Knight.
And Peter O'Sullivan.
How about we close with a Hail Mary?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm Eric Klaser. This has been Knights Around the Table. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Knights Around the Table. We look forward to the next conversation about who the Knights are and what they're up to. Thanks to WSJF for broadcasting the show and Molly Klaser for her tireless engineering support. We'll see you next time.